You know, if you're here this morning, you are hearing for the first time of the love of Jesus Christ. The love of a God who sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. That Son who took the penalty of our sin upon Himself. He took our sin and He cast it into the lake of fire. Do you know we don't serve a God that is dead? We serve a living Savior. Because He rose again 3 days later and He now sits on the right hand of our God. That sits at the right hand of God the Father, and He intercedes on our behalf. He is a loving God. He is a loving Jesus Christ who made the way of salvation possible. You know, He has given us something that is absolutely amazing, and that is His Word. As we look at the Bible, and we look at the many things that we can learn through it, we look at lifetimes spent studying the Word of God and its pages and its truth never being exhausted. That speaks of a boundless love. A love that God has given us. And He has written of that in His Word. God's Word is a very important thing in the lives of all mankind. Or at least it ought to be. There are many who look at the Word of God and they mock it. There are many that look at the Word of God, as we've been learning lately on Sunday evenings. The pastor's been doing a study with us on how to properly study the Word of God. There are many who look at Scripture as completely allegorical. And they try to find truth for just themselves. What they think is truth. They try to rationalize away sin by interpreting Scripture according to the way they've been living their lives. But as we look at Scripture and we study its pages, how can we come to any other conclusion than the literal truth that is presented to us? And this morning I want to look at the Apostle Paul and how he stood for that truth. How the Apostle Paul's life was given wholly to getting that Word of God into the hands of mankind. I read of a man called William Tyndale. Many of you have probably heard of him. He wrote the English translation of Scripture, the Tyndale Bible. He was he became very interested in the ideas of John Wycliffe and the Lollards. Tyndale became convinced that the church needed the Word of God translated into the English language. This was many years ago, in the 1500s. This man got burdened with the necessity of having the Word of God in the English language so that we too could study. It would take the Word of God out of the hands of those that were mistreating it and placing it then into the hands of those who could study, where God meant for it to be in the hands of all mankind. Where we can study the Word of God and interpret it, literally, applying it to our lives. And Tyndale got concerned and burdened with that task. And in 1524, Tyndale went to Hamburg, where he met with Martin Luther and followed. And the following year moved to Cologne, where he managed to arrange for the translating of the Bible and to be printed in English. He translated much of the work of Scripture into the English language, and during the next few years, 18,000 copies of the Bible were printed and smuggled into England. If you know anything about printing material in the 1500s, it was something that was done very little. There was very little printed material available because it was so difficult to do. So for Tyndale to put 18,000 copies of Scripture in the English language, smuggling that into England, that was a great feat. He put his life at risk just to see the Word of God placed in the hands of the English-speaking people so that they could study the Word of God, knowing of the love, knowing of the salvation that Jesus Christ freely offers to all mankind. William Tyndale became a wise steward of Scripture. He became a wise steward of the abilities that God had given him. William Tyndale was betrayed by Henry Phillips and arrested in Antwerp, and imprisoned in a castle near Brussels for his work in translation. He was found guilty of heresy, and on the 6th of October, 1536, he was strangled and burned at the stake. This is what a man went through to get the Word of God translated into the English language. We see that there was a man named Voltaire. He hated Christianity. He hated all things to do with the Word of God. And he said in his lifetime that within 100 years he will stamp out Christianity. Within 100 years you will not know any more of it. We are many 100 years past that man's life. And here we sit today with the Word of God still in our language. The Word of God still being proclaimed from this pulpit and many others across the world. He couldn't do it. He couldn't stamp out the Word of God. He could not stamp out the work of our Lord. Domitian and Titus, emperors in Rome, both tried to squash Christianity without success. Both tried to get rid of the Word of God being preached, but could not do it, though they persecuted and killed thousands of Christians. They could not stamp out the power of the Word of God. If you look at Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will see hundreds of people listed. There are stories written out for us to read about hundreds of individuals who had gone to great lengths to uphold the Word of God, to tell people in different countries, to put the Word of God into other languages so that they too can understand and know who God is. They put their lives in great danger for this Word of God. There are thousands, millions that have lost their lives for the Word of God. Yet we see that even though the world has tried to stamp it out, it is still here. There is a power in the Word of God. There is a power that our God possesses that is unmatched by anyone else in this world. There was a lot of work that went into the translation, a lot of work that went into smuggling these Bibles into England, a lot of work that went in by many people throughout the ages, men and women just like you and I, who got concerned with maintaining the purity of Scripture, people who got concerned with getting the Word of God into the hands of other people. How concerned are we this morning with taking that Word that many who have gone on before us have taken to at great risk to their own lives? They have taken that Word of God to many other people. They have done it losing their lives. They did it because they loved the Lord. God burdened them with the necessity of getting the gospel to others. You know, I heard an interesting story. It's actually in my wife's past, in her history, in her family, on her father's side. I believe it was her great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother. She had to flee from Estonia and went into Sweden. Her dying wish was that Bibles be sent back into Estonia, where she was to be buried in her casket. Not only would that put the people taking the body back at great risk, but it was also something that was a very risky task for anyone to undertake. But they took it back. That lady got concerned with getting the Word of God into a completely closed country, a country that was completely opposed to the Word of God. That was only 100 years ago, a few hundred years ago at the most. Then we see that there are people all over India that are losing their lives. Many other countries that are losing their lives. I think India specifically, because I heard just last year that there were many Christians, many pastors that had bounties on their heads because they had the Word of God and they were proclaiming it in India. I don't know what the equivalent of the money that they were offering to the individuals, but it was, I believe it was into the thousands of dollars just for bringing a pastor to the authorities. Anyone who was proclaiming the Word of God, and their lives would be taken after they were beaten and cruelly mistreated, leaving congregations of people without pastors, without people to lead them. But you know, despite the fact that this happened, these churches have gone on. But more importantly, the Word of God has stayed intact. The Word of God is still in our hands today. The Word of God is still in the hands of many throughout the world. And as I come to this passage of Scripture, I see that Paul is looking at his life and he's seeing the persecution that he has endured. He's seeing the persecution that he's endured because of his stand that he has taken on the Word of God. We see that he finds great blessing in his bonds. Have you ever been completely and utterly overwhelmed by something? Something has come into your life and you can think of nothing else. It's completely overwhelmed you, it's kept you up at night, and it's consumed every thought, every waking minute. For the Apostle Paul, what consumed his life, what consumed every waking minute of his life, was getting the Word of God to other people. We see that even while he was in prison, his ministry, as we would think, would have come to a screeching halt. The Apostle Paul was used to start churches in Corinth, Galatia, Philippi, Antioch of Pisidia, Colossae, Thessalonica, and others. Churches were being started all over the place. Wherever the Apostle Paul took the gospel, wherever he was preaching, God was using it in a miraculous way to win many to Jesus Christ. Churches were popping up everywhere. But now the Apostle Paul is in prison. And you would think that that work would come to a halt, that he'd be discouraged with the place that he was put in. But we see that the word of God was still spreading like wildfire. Because you know, it wasn't the power of the Apostle Paul. It wasn't the power of William Tyndale. It wasn't the power of many other people that have maintained the word of God, who have worked at keeping it. It's not their power. It's the power of God that stands behind his word. We are told in the book of Jeremiah that the word of God will be in every generation. The word of God will never, ever pass out of our hands. And God has maintained that truth. He has made true on that promise up to date. And you know, as I've looked at history and I've seen the persecution that believers had faced in years past, right from the time of Christ on in through the Dark Ages, and we look at those times as extremely tough times on believers, and then we bring our minds to today, we often think that we are so sheltered. And in a way, in North America, we are sheltered a lot from the persecution. But did you know that there are more Christians dying today in the name of Jesus Christ than died? I believe in the last 150 years, more believers has died in the name of the Lord than have from that 150 years back to the time of Christ. As they've added up, now there are probably great numbers that they don't know about that have lost their lives. But when you look at the statistics that they know of, exponentially more people are dying today for the word of God. What is it that people hate so much about the love of God? I think as I look at Scripture and I see people being, and even myself, being confronted with our own sin, it's a humbling thing. You know, Satan's great sin, the sin that beset him, had him cast out of heaven, was of pride. He wanted to take the place of God. Mankind's thought has taken the place of God in everything. You look around the world and God's name is taken out of everything. We see in Christmas. Christmas is a time where we celebrate the life of Christ, but now everywhere you look, it's the holiday season. And everyone is having a say at what that holiday season is all about. Or it's called winter break or winter holidays. No longer is the name of Christ put forward as the reason for the season that is coming. Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, what Jesus Christ came to fulfill, that is what we're to focus on. Not some big man in a red suit. We're to focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. Jesus Christ came and he gave us his word so that we could learn, so that we could come to a place where his righteousness is placed on our account. We are freed from sin. We can have a home in heaven. So we see as the Apostle Paul is thrown in prison, the churches that he had been starting, we see that the churches that he would have gone and started himself can no longer happen. We think that you could see that in great ways his work had been put to stop in that way. We see that there were great men also, Timothy, Luke, John, Mark, Barnabas, Silas, other men that had worked with them, they were still out there and they were still proclaiming the word of God. The Apostle Paul was doing what 2 Timothy 2:2 said, to pass on what he had learned, pass on the word of God to the next generation. And that is our task. Our task is to pass the word of God on to the next generation. And with all the persecution that we could face, with all the persecution that others have faced in preserving the word of God, we realize there is a great task ahead of us. Matthew Henry said this about Paul's condition. He said, "A strange chemistry of providence this, to extract so great a good as the enlargement of the gospel out of so great an evil as the confinement of an apostle." This brings us to the theme, I believe, of the text. What Matthew Henry was saying is to take the Apostle Paul out of the world and place him into prison. You would think it was something that would stop the word of God from going forward, but it didn't. It actually encouraged others to go forward with the word of God. And this morning I want to focus on the theme, the endurance of God's word. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1 says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel." What happened to Paul was producing furtherance despite great setbacks. We must never look at setbacks in our lives or setbacks in a ministry that we may have as something that is to stop us. Though setbacks come, they are quite often put there for our strength. We see that in the furtherance of the gospel, this word means steady and incremental progress. Literally to strike forward and to cut forward away. Even though Paul was put in a position where his hands were bound, he was physically kept in one place, he continued to put out the word of God. We see that books of the Bible were written in this time. God came upon Paul. His Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul as he wrote Scripture, as he wrote the book of Philippians, as he wrote the other prison epistles, encouraging the churches. These are passages of Scripture that we preach from today. God took him. He needed to take Paul from this ministry that he had been having, starting churches, raising up other men to go and preach the gospel. He needed to take Paul for a time and set him in prison so that he could be there and have that time of still quietness where he could write Scripture. Now, mind you, he didn't stop proclaiming the Word of God. There were still centurions and there were still men in charge of keeping him. We see that through other portions of Scripture, there are still others that were able to come into him, come in and learn from him, learn from the Word of God. That was still possible. He still maintained a portion of that ministry, but God used him in a great way to give us more of his Word, to further complete the Word of God. We find that our lives are quite often like stepping stones. For the Apostle Paul, this was just another stepping stone in his life. First, we see that Paul, as he went on his ministry, he started out as a missionary. He would go into a city, he would preach Christ in the synagogues, and then he would go out and he would preach to others in the streets. And then Apostle Paul would move on and he would do the very same thing in another city. And then he'd go on and he'd strengthen the believers. He'd go on and he'd raise up others to go preach the Word of God. But now Christ had taken him to another stepping stone, where he was now sitting. And he was alone with God quite often. And he was reading, meditating on Scripture, but also penning Scripture. You see, the Apostle Paul preached boldly wherever he went. But he got concerned with the necessity of preaching boldly even in his bonds. He was in a very sad place. A place where he wouldn't have the freedom to go where he wanted. But his freedom to speak the gospel was never taken away. Though people may try to take away our freedom in Jesus Christ, we still can maintain that. The Apostle Paul maintained his freedom. And Christ was preached in the palace. It was preached in Rome. If you look at verse 13, it says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace." The Lord told Paul that he'd be able to preach the gospel. He'd be able to carry the gospel to Rome. And God made that happen by putting him in bonds. He made that happen. He was able to preach the gospel in the palace. Acts chapter 28 shows us an instance where that occurs, where he is able to give the gospel in Rome. So we continue to move on in this passage of Scripture through verse 13. The soul says, "So that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." He was confined to one place, that was the palace, or to Rome. He was confined there, but the Word of God was not confined. The Word of God could not be confined to anything. You know, when I think of someone, of something being confined, I often think of a dog. A dog, we often put them in a pen. We often keep them in a house, or we tie them to a deck post. We tie them, there's some dogs that eat, you get these little spikes that you twist into the ground, and keep them there. Well, I don't know anything of those small dogs. You can ask the Picketts about them. They have small dogs now. But they used to have big dogs, large dogs. And that's what I'm used to growing up with. I grew up with big dogs. We had Golden Lab. His name was Angus. And rightfully so. I mean, I don't know if you know anything of a man named Angus McCaskill, but he was a giant. And I believe he was born in and lived in Cape Breton, I think. Angus McCaskill was a huge man. And Angus, when he was born, this little puppy, he was the biggest of the litter. That's why he was named Angus. And I would imagine that being a giant, you'd have to be a strong man. Well, Angus lived up to his name. This dog was strong. We would tie him to a deck post. A deck post that was into a big concrete block. You know, have you ever seen them? They've kind of got the slits in them, and you drop it down, the post down into it, and then the whole weight of the deck is sitting on top of it. Well, we tie Angus to it, and he just pulled the deck post out. We had chasing him down, and there was a large vacant piece of property out behind our house that they were going to put a housing development on at one point. So they have like a kind of grown over road. Well, we're going after Angus, probably the three of us, me, JD, and Matthew on our bikes, chasing after our dog, trying to get him back, and we see him dragging this big deck post, and he's just running full tilt. And I look at Scripture, and I can relate that in a very similar way. Though people try to put some restraint on the gospel, though they try to stop the progress of the gospel, it's not going to happen. And I know the strength of Angus was probably limited. Now, I don't think we ever found the limits. He kept pulling deck posts. He kept pulling the sides off his sheds. That was a strong dog. I don't know where he got his strength. I look at the strength of a dog, and you couldn't keep him penned up. You couldn't keep him there. He took off hundreds of times. The Word of God will take off every time someone tries to keep it in one place. And I find that when people try to persecute believers, try to get rid of the Word of God, that's when it spreads the most. And that's when Angus, when he took off, that's when he wanted to be away the most, when we tried to confine him. I mean, if we were to let him run around, he'd probably come back eventually. But after he'd been penned up for a while, he'd just take off. When the Word of God, when people try to pen up the Word of God, it takes off. I'm told that in China there are more Christians than exist in all of the United States and Canada. And that's a closed country. That's a country where you're not allowed to preach the gospel. You're not allowed to have the Word of God. They tried to put confinement in the Word of God. Yet it spread like wildfire. There are many people who know the Lord. There are many places around this world where they try to confine the Word of God in that way. And there are believers that in the midst of great persecution, in the midst of great trial, their families disowning them. In the midst of all of that. And I heard that even in when this church was beginning, there were some people who as they went and followed the Lord, they followed Scripture and they came to this church, even their families here, a number of years ago, their families would disown them. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of trying to keep the gospel to one place, it tends to spread. And today, this church stands. I believe it was Tim Harper that was telling me about that the other day. It's amazing to hear some of the stories of how God has worked through His Word. And you hear stories time and time again. So even in Paul's bonds, the Word of God was being put forward. But the Word of God cannot be bound. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 tells us of that. Also, verse 16 of that very same chapter. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. It all tells us the Word of God, not being able to be bound. Turn to those passages. They're great verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given unto Christ Jesus before the world began." Jesus Christ, He is the power behind it. Now look down at verse 16. It says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." There was a chain that they were trying to put around the Word of God, a chain they were trying to put on the Apostle Paul. There was a chain of the gospel that was lashed to him, but his people tried to put physical chains on the Word of God and on the ministers of the gospel. The Word of God continued to go forward. The Word could not be bound, even though the people that were bearing it were bound themselves. As we move on in this passage and begin to look at verse 14, I see that there was produced a confidence and a boldness in believers. It says in Philippians, turn back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And many of the brethren in the land, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So not only is it the Apostle Paul, but in the Apostle Paul's bonds, it made others more bold. God put a boldness in the heart of other people to go out and spread the gospel. More people were now in the service of the king. More people got concerned with maintaining Scripture. More people got concerned with spreading the gospel when the Apostle Paul was put in bonds than had ever been before. It's as though there was a switch in things for the Apostle Paul. Though he was taken out of the picture in some ways, the Apostle Paul began to sit back and he began to see the work of those that he had ministered to. The Apostle Paul was in a place where he could now look out and see, and he wrote this book of Philippians and he is encouraged. We see that the main theme of Philippians is rejoicing, enjoying in the place that this church had come to because of the Word of God. There's an importance of it. If God got concerned with maintaining Scripture, with keeping Scripture in our hands, there must be something about it that is important. If millions of people have lost their lives to preserve the Word of God, there must be something to it. We look around us all today and people continue to downplay the Word of God, continuing to downplay the Lord, trying to make the Lord seem as some vindictive man up in heaven that is waiting to strike you down with a bolt of lightning. You've seen that many times God is portrayed in that way, and it's disgusting. We have a loving, good God who has given us His Word. He's given us His Son. He has given and given and given and given again to a people who don't deserve it. We have a wonderful, loving, and giving God. And He has produced a confidence in His people, even in the midst of great persecution. Even when the Apostle Paul was put in prison, we see that these people were made more bold as a result. And as we move on to verses 15 through 18, this we see that there is produced a rejoicing in the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 15. He says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill." And I look at that first glance, I think, well, where's the rejoicing coming from? This is a rejoicing part, but Paul's talking about the Word of God being preached out of strife. Verse 16, it says, "Then the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds." And here's the wonderful part. "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Even though the Apostle Paul sees other people preaching the gospel for personal gain, you ever heard of that happening in our day? There are many televangelists, and I'm not going to get on the backs of all of them, but quite often they're putting out, "Buy my book. Watch our program. Give bountifully to our ministry." And they're constantly talking about a health and wealth gospel. And they're out there for personal gain. I read in a newspaper of some different pastors in different places. They've got huge ranches and they've got helicopters. They've got their own airports. And just all benefiting and getting all of this money, heaping that to themselves, but not feeding the flock. They're preaching a shallow gospel. They're not teaching other people of their necessity of knowing Jesus Christ, their necessity of coming to the end of themselves, humbly coming before Christ. So some are preaching Christ for personal gain. Some were preaching Christ for contention. But Paul looks at it and he says there are also some preaching Christ for the right motives. And he says that whether Christ is being preached in contention or whether it's being preached in pretense or in sincerity, he is praising God that the Word of God is going forward. The Word of God is being preached. No matter what, Paul rejoiced in that Christ was preached. It was the joy of Paul to see the gospel preached because he was set for the defense of the gospel. And Paul left God to be the judge of people's motives in their preaching. We ought not to get ourselves too concerned with correcting everyone else's church. Because face it, there are many churches that are mishandling the Word of God. It is not our job to lead those flocks, but what our job is to make sure that this church, to make sure that First Baptist Church is not mishandling the Word of God, but handling it correctly. So that the preacher that is in the pulpit is preaching the Word of God properly, preaching everything in this book, and praise God for our pastor. Praise God that he is concerned with the purity of the Word of God and teaching it properly. And that on Sunday nights, he is teaching us how to study the Word of God properly so that we are not misinterpreting it. So we are applying it appropriately. We need to be concerned with how we treat the Word of God. how we present the Word of God to other people. And Paul was rejoicing because he saw that the church at Philippi, he saw that other churches around were treating the Word of God with due respect and reverence. They were treating the Word of God as though it was a precious commodity and continuing to spread the Word of God around the world. But not only did it produce confidence and boldness, not only did the Word of God produce rejoicing, but it also produced a reliance in Paul. Paul was relying on something. Look at verse 19. It says, For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The persecution that came about in Paul's life, the hardship that came, produced a reliance on the Lord. Paul knew that his mission, and you can find his mission statement in Acts 20:24. What Paul had set out to do in his life, his commission of God, to preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul wanted in his life to preach the Word of God. And it caused him to rely on the Word. It caused him to rely on the Lord because as he looked about and he saw the persecution that was coming into his own life, the hardship that came, not just hardship because of other people, but I mean there were shipwrecks. There were many other things that came into his life, like his thorn in the flesh. Whatever that truly was, whatever that thorn in the flesh was something that brought Paul into a place where he relied on God to get him through. No matter what, Paul rejoiced. No matter what, Paul was relying on God. Paul was rejoicing in the fact that more people were coming to know the Lord. In Paul's life, physical deliverance from prison was what he desired. But more than anything, he desired that the Word of God not be bound, and he knew that it could not. And he loved the Word of God. It produced a reliance on Jesus Christ. It was the work of Christ on the cross that gave Paul his zeal for the gospel. It is the work of Christ that gave us salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ cast sin and death into hell. He conquered sin and death. He rose again 3 days later, and then he ascended into heaven. He did all of this for you and I. And he has recorded that. And he has recorded all that that means in his word. You read through the book of John. You read through the book of Romans. And you will see the overwhelming love of God that was poured out through Jesus Christ's life. Through Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And all that means to our lives. How that we can have new life in Jesus Christ. It was Christ that gave salvation. No one else. It is Christ. It is the power of God that preserves His Word. And His Word that teaches us of His power. God has a way of working all things out for good. You know, when the Apostle Paul was in prison, it looked like everything could have stopped. The ministry should have stopped. But it continued on in Paul's physical absence. While in prison, Paul wrote a number of books of our New Testament. And the portion of Scripture we've studied this morning. What will you allow to bind the Word of God in your own heart? What is going to cause the Word of God to stop going forward in your own heart? This is something else that we didn't talk about a whole lot this morning. But when we come down to it, we can bind the Word of God in only one way. And that's the way it works in our own lives. Because we are the ones that allow God to work in our lives. Because if we push the Word of God away, and we push away His working, we can get ourselves into a place where we are far from Him. Or we can get ourselves into a place where we never come to know Him as our Savior. Maybe you're in that place today where you have pushed away the Word of God. Or maybe you're in the place where you are just now learning of the power of the Word of God. Just now learning of Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross for you. Don't try to bind it. Don't try to bind that Word of God or push it away from your life because it is quick and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce and it can divide. and it can save you. The Word of God, as it comes into your heart and you realize what Christ has done for you, as you place your faith in Jesus Christ, He can save you from your sin. I encourage you this morning to come to Jesus Christ. I encourage you this morning, believer, if you know Him, do not try to bind the Word of God or push it away in a time of trouble, because it's in that time that God can use it in a greater way. It's in that time that God seeks to propagate the Word of God in your own life and maybe in the lives of others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its power. Lord, we do pray that You would guide us and direct us throughout our day. And Lord, as we come to this time,